The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 593. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
All I gotta say is you gotta do the footwork, gotta get in, get to the streets, do it.
There you go. Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Showing up just in time, Mr. Brett Murdoch.
This is the podcast equivalent of sliding in as the door is closing.
I love it.
Yep. Stand clear of the closing doors.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And of course, Brian Manjoma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2-1, but at the same time, 1982.
He's talking about soccer, people.
I don't care about soccer. Way, who are you?
Brett might be the Kramer of this show.
He's the Kramer.
I'm the Kramer of every show.
They were. I just had a Torrance moment.
Oh,
I thought you said Creamer. I'm like, wait, you're saying he's Creamer because he's white?
Is this a white joke?
No, yeah. Creamer yeah. Because you know yeah, how no, Creamer
I,
is.
Yeah, I know, I get it, but that's a Torrance moment. It's like, hey, like you know, it's like apparently we was at a party and they were talking about Ryan Seacrest. He didn't know who Ryan Seacrest was, so to him, Seacrest was crackers, right? So we're like, hey, we're talking about Ryan Seacrest, the cracker.
Well, yes, in a way.
I mean, if you could describe anybody that way ever, it would be Ryan Seacrest. Let's be honest.
This is very true.
He is definitely the most crackery of crackers.
I'm going to tell you this though, Ryan Seacrest. Who else? Yeah, Ryan Seacrest, Carson Daly, and Jeff Keighley—they were all made in the same factory. You could tell. Oh,
yes.
I mean, you know,
aren't they all Canadian?
Oh,
you may be onto something there.
They remind me of like the generic medication or whatever. You know, like, yeah, this all got made in the same package, but like they just label it as like Best Choice and CVS. And
I feel like also the same factory are like the dude from Spartacus, the guy, Jake Sully from Avatar. Like that, you know, short-haired, bald, you know, like short-haired
and
guy.
And the guy who replaced Spartacus, they're
the
all
the
same dude.
And the guy who replaced Spartacus who's in Gears of War.
They're all
you
the
know,
same
I'm
dude.
I'm much more comfortable with that kind of thing than like when they rebooted Helen Hunt.
I don't recall that one.
There's a Helen Hunt 2.0. It's fucking uncanny.
Oh, really? Okay, I got to check that out.
Helen
That's
Hunt
interesting.
T-O-O or T-W?
You know what? I was thinking TWO, but TOO is much more hilarious. Like, hey, I'm Helen Hunt too.
Yes.
I like that. And obviously, you know, it's a good thing we're starting the show with a bunch of jokes, you know, some laughs, because we got nothing but bad news for you.
Oh, yeah, this dark humor is load bearing, you guys.
What else does the dark universe hold for us?
It's just the gaming
clown
industry's
world,
cooked. Yeah, clown world. Clown
well, I've been
world.
Tony, I've just been sending Tony clown world like fucking stories all week, and I know he's not been getting them only from me. So Jesus Christ!
Oh no, yeah. I've seen quite a bit of clown worlds on my timeline. Oof. Okay.
Oh, Tony, can I, quick detour. Manny, have you heard about Crunchyroll?
No,
yes, I did.
We will be talking about
that. We got
that one. We got.
Oh, we will be. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because the way I figure it is like. Yes, it is technically a Sony story, but Sony's fucking up, so we're doing it. Fuck it, you know.
Hey, listen. Crunchyroll is also part of the PS Plus Maximum.
Yep, and it all ties into the larger story what Sony's doing. So we're definitely going to talk about that, Brett. And it's also nerdy stuff, you know. It's all in the same wheelhouse.
Kind of nerdy.
Don't worry, you know, you PlayStation guys, we will be dunking on Xbox as well. They're taking L's too. Everybody's taking L's, you know?
I mean, is Microsoft ever doing otherwise?
Yeah, right.
By the way, did you see that video of it was like Phil Spencer, and he goes into this guy's house and he's like, "Oh, Phil, I'm sorry, I can't take you punching me in the balls anymore." He's like, "Listen, I got good news. I'm leaving." And they're like, "Oh my God, this is great." And then, you know, then Asha Sharma comes in and she starts saying a whole bunch of really nice things that the guy likes. And then all of a sudden she starts punching him in the balls.
Oh, dude, I saw that today. Two for flinching.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like, no. Phil's gone. He can't hurt you anymore. Massive layoffs. Stealing the beloved studios. Third Xbox price hike. Just punch him in the dick each time.
Yeah.
Who knows? He may. I'm assuming it's actors, not AI bullshit.
Oh no, it's actually actors. But yeah, okay. I had to question it. By the way.
Yeah.
But they are actually actors.
You ever have that movie like, did they cast Asha Sharma really well, or am I just being racist?
No, it's a really good Asha Sharma. Like the guy who's playing Phil Spencer obviously looks like Phil Spencer, but the Asha Sharma, like, she looks fairly close to a woman. So you're like, wait, is that they? No, it's a real person.
I'm just saying, some guys may like being punched by an Indian woman. So, you know, maybe it's not bad being punched in the nuts, right?
That's a different pronoun we're talking about there.
Yeah. No, I actually kept it family friendly. You know, I could have said more. But yeah, let's talk about Sony, bro. There's two specific stories we're going to talk about, like the Crunchyroll one. But I don't have this in the show notes, but I want to talk about it regardless. They're still catching it on social media. There has not been a single post that Sony has made, PlayStation has made, that hasn't been roasted. And again, just like we talked about last week, if they retweet anything from another company, that company fucking gets it too. Everything's community noted to high. Fuck.
Even Moss got it. The cute Moss mouse
got it.
The cute little mouse got it. Like everything Ooh. Got it.
Ooh, Sony is just there. They're turning Sony radioactive, and I'll be honest, I don't hate that.
Yeah. This is a report from Moore's Law is Dead, so take it with a grain of salt, that apparently some of Sony's partners, because they have to, the developers of Moss, Manny, had to pay Sony for that tweet, yes. Right? Yes, so apparently developers are mad. It's like, wait, we're paying you all this money and our games are getting fucking dunked on. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's looking bad for everybody, man.
It's like here's the thing. They decided to make that decision.
Yeah,
they wanted to close the stores and they wanted to get rid of discs. So what did they think that was going to happen? Oh, we're just everybody's going to accept it, right? And they're waiting the supposed behind the scenes thing says they're just looking to wade through it.
Yeah, I heard that as well. You know, because they just figure like
painful.
Yeah. No, these guys are not letting up at all. And, like, and you know, here's one of the first stories. It's gotten to a point where several countries are not trying to sue Sony over this. Mexico, the Netherlands, some other countries.
Brazil,
yes.
Brazil is like that. The person who's the advocate for all of this stuff, she seems to be pretty savvy about all this stuff. I'm guessing she's kind of young. So good. She seems to jump on this shit as soon as it happens. Like, there was another thing that she jumped on, too, with them.
Yeah. And this is after Sony's been in several other lawsuits before this last batch of laws. Like, they were already being sued by, like, the Netherlands for having monopolies on digital storefronts and ruining the economy of physical media and used gaming. Like, there are places where, like, the only way that you can get games now is through Sony, and they are already being sued for that. So they were, to put the timeline clearly, they were being sued by several countries when they pulled off the 500 movies and then pulled physical media. And now they're being sued by several more groups for the pulling off the 500 movies and then several more groups for the ending of physical media. So, like, they're tied up in at least like 9 lawsuits now internationally over this bullshit.
Yeah. So yeah, it's getting pretty bad out there, because it's going to be a lot of countries that are going to, it's going to be very hard for them to play PlayStation games because they don't have access to the internet, you know?
I need to make a connection that I think a lot of people have made. Like, when we're talking about the crash of the gaming industry, and Sony holding a near monopoly in the gaming industry. If you haven't figured it out yet, we're talking about the crash of Sony as an inevitability. Like, we can't have the gaming industry crash without Sony being the first one to take a knee and probably ending up the new Microsoft. Like, that's going to be a thing. I was thinking about that earlier this week. I was like, we all know the gaming industry is collapsing, but, like, we know that Sony is going to probably not do super well, like, burning their reputation to the ground, right? Like, we all knew this was coming, but I don't think we knew this was coming this quick. But Sony's probably not making out of this completely, like, I don't even know how to put it. In the last few weeks, I have come to the realization that I don't know if Sony's getting out of this unscathed, and I don't know if they should, but...
It's the only thing that, I mean, to be honest, the only thing I could say would that would save this is a huge policy change and a regime change, like, across the board. Like, you're telling me that, like, executives are just selling off their stock? That, what does that mean? It sounds like they don't even have faith in what's going on.
Well, and not just that, like, I want
to tear. Or they see the axe coming and they just want to get as much money out of this before they, you know, retire like old John Boy did.
Well, somebody else had told me, like, they would do this so they would sell, and then after the prices drop, they would buy back up to reconsolidate the stocks, which is somehow even more fucking evil. But, like, I want to ask you guys, while we're kind of on the point, one thing that occurred to me, I want to say last week, was when they're talking about, like, how you need to be on logging in every 3 years or they're going to delete your entire library and everything like that. Like, we now find ourselves in a place where, as a PlayStation, or I'm not speaking hypothetically, like, my entire library has been cherry picked through and things have been removed that I have bought or gotten on PS Plus. And basically at this point, we're at, I have altered the terms, pray I do not alter them further. Also, if you ever decide to leave my ecosystem and forget to log in for long enough, I will take your library and everything you own. You are married to me. You are tied, sewed to me like the human fucking centipede. And if you ever think about going to my competitor for just a single generation, I will take everything you have collected and owned. You want to talk about FOMO? I will burn it all to the fucking ground. And I do not, like, I don't feel comfortable being tied to a platform that holds the power to say, hey, because I said so and I went back and I retroactively changed the rules, you're stuck with me. And if you ever leave, I'm deleting everything. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if I can support a platform like that. And I wonder if anybody else is kind of like just looking around and being like, fucking frogs in boiling water. Like, we really got to this point where I'm basically being held hostage to my past gaming, or my gaming past. And I'm wondering if anybody else feels that, like, that same noose tightening around them, or if it's just me.
Yeah, I see things more cynically than you. I feel it's been this way for a long time for me. So it's like, okay, a company screwed me over. Yeah, they've been doing that. Which I'm not excusing it, by the way. I'm just saying it's all fucked up, and it's just going to keep getting worse. So it's like, don't expect things to get any better. You know, it's like Microsoft, Sony, whatever, they're all fucking assholes. They don't care about you. They never have, you know? That's the fact, you know,
as sad as it is. A bridge further than that, though. Like, this feels like more than apathy. This feels...
I'm sorry. Phil Fergus was asking, why are you explaining how marriage works? That's so true.
Yep.
Anyway, continue. I just had to throw that in. That's fucking hilarious.
No, I've got a prenup with Sony. Fuck. God damn that. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just still reeling from that comment. That was my good one. You got me. I don't know.
Does anybody else feel Brett? Yeah, that's the crux of it.
Yeah. Does anybody else kind of be like, I don't know, because, like, they're pulling the strings on this thing, right? Like, we knew that this was coming, but to see how cleanly they've gone through, like, even I didn't expect them to actually put, like, when they tease, like, the, oh, we put in can't think of the thing when you file a patent for something, for the DRM, if you don't log in for 36 months, we take everything. And they went, no, that's not true. And even I was dumb enough to be like, well, they're not going to just blatantly do that. And they did. They've blown past every, this has been so much worse than everything I could have imagined. So, like, while I'm cynical, maybe this is the story of my life, Tony. I thought I was cynical. Maybe I wasn't cynical enough. Am I the only one here that's
enough? Yeah, you're a sweet summer child, you know?
Yeah, Brad.
Because the way you're acting, I'm like, Brad, you didn't see any of this shit coming, bro?
I did. I just didn't know it was going to be this bad. Like, I was like, it's going to be bad. They hate you. I get it. They are complete soulless monsters who want to exploit your hobby as if they hate you. But this is like fucking comedic Idiocracy level, right? Like, I didn't expect them, like, maybe the malice, but not this level of stupidity. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's like you said, Brett, gaming is no longer controlled by people who are passionate about gaming. It's controlled by fucking shareholders who just want as much money as possible. That's what it comes down to.
And then it is up to us to fucking bury them in the dirt and make an example out of them.
Yeah. Anyway,
they're, go ahead, Carlos. I mean, these companies are rewarded by exploiting anybody and anyone they can. So that's why, you know, we had conversations about Sony and Microsoft years ago, where I felt like the conversations were not really going anywhere because we're having a sort of a comparative morality between Sony and Microsoft about their practice. My whole thing was like, they're all trying to screw you over, really. It doesn't really matter. One's comparatively better in some aspects than the others. It's they're all if they can turn around and fuck you, they'll do it. And that's what their whole thing is. So I'm like Tony. I really not surprised by Manny, I'll give you credit. Chris doesn't give you credit, but I'll give you credit. Toe Dip, there's a reason why Toe Dips exist, is because they're trying to see how much they can, you know, dip their toes into something where they can feel like they can put their whole foot in it. And that's and that's what everything is. So
I mean, the thing about it is it's all about seeing how much they can get, you know, while they do it. And that one time where I got the update and then all of a sudden it literally flashed the whole like terms and services that we talked about a while ago. I'm like, this is weird. This is like new. This is like there must be something on here that they're specifically changing that they want you see. And they've been. This is like what they say about like cooking like prawns and crab, right? You don't do it like hot. You do it slow.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. You know. By the way, putting something there that they do want you to see it, but they know you're not going to read it. But
they know you're not going
to. They turn around and be like, "What are you talking about? We told you."
We put it right up in front of you this time.
This is something I've been expecting. I've already had this mentality. I know there will be a time where I'm not going to be a gamer anymore. It's just going to, like, you know, end a life or whatever. And I'm like, yo, I'm about to hit 50. Am I really going to be doing this shit? Well, I'm talking about, but let me finish. And I'm talking about just purely myself, not talking about anybody else, right? I've always known there's going to be an end date to this shit. If it comes sooner, so be it. Go ahead, bro.
I just want to add some milk to this chocolate, yo. Like, yeah, we're sitting here in the shadow of Dour News, so let me bring it up a little bit. One fucking word. Power World. I'll elaborate. Power World.
Yeah, please.
Fucking came out, $30, brand new game, trouncing fucking, like, this game fought to exist. It fought Nintendo down. Nintendo, the most litigious fucking company ever. And last I saw, this motherfucker was sitting at 800,000 concurrent players on Steam. I think the last estimates that I saw was 30 million units sold. This is the top 25, I think top, it's like number 18 of the most concurrent played games ever on Steam. This thing is destroying records on a shoestring budget from a small company who's doing nothing but fucking fan service and fighting off Nintendo while doing it. And they came out, released a $30 game, and as if that weren't enough, they said, hey, for launch, we're going to give you 30% off. It's $20 right now on fucking Steam. I'm playing not Pokemon on my not Switch right now. Fuck both these companies. And that's the other thing. Like, yeah, old gaming is crashing, right? But, like, new gaming is coming up. New companies, fresh ideas, different games, non-exploitive things, people who appreciate their community, who, like, they just released a fucking 1.0 update that, like, 75 new Pokemon or pals or whatever the fuck you want to call them, right? 75. That is unheard of in Pokemon standards. Of like, hey, we know we had like 180, but we're just going to give you 100 or another 75 just for funsies on full release because supporting the community question mark. That's awesome. There's good stuff going on, too. Just want to share.
Yeah. Anyway, what about the rest of you guys? What do you say about all this insanity with Sony right now?
I don't know, man. It makes me not want to go see Spider-Man. I mean, like it's like giving them more money. Like, it's like, okay, like, oh, if this is not going to do this, it's like, I don't know. Like, it just, all of this, like, it's such a big deal. You could actually see an executive and they were saying, you know, hey, listen, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that. Like, all those guys are gone, and now it's just like these fucking automatons that run this shit. I don't know. Like, I really, like, I wish that corporations, and it sucks, I wish that corporations still believed in people.
Hmm.
On all ends.
Yeah.
This goes to the, this goes on the AI end. This goes on all of this stuff. It's every single one of them wanting to cut human beings out of the equation.
It's true.
Like, who makes the discs at a disc manufacturing plant? You still have people there doing that sort of stuff. Who yeah. buys them? Who, any of this stuff is just trying to cut everybody off and essentially make a content factory, just constantly printing up this shit and people just continuing to eat it up.
Yep.
Manny, I don't think you understand the whole thing where people take up more energy,
Yeah, this is true.
We take up more energy.
Here's the thing. It's not like, I agree with Manny, but I just want to throw out my distinction there. As much as I like dislike AI, I'm not a fucking Luddite over the whole thing. I make the distinction, at least, like, I think the fucking problem is the cloud. And I don't think that's limited to just AI. But I think the big problem with AI is they're like, hey, let's take a computer when it's the size of a fucking room and then try and make that into a service. Like, you realize they're going to miniaturize this shit, right? That when that bubble pops, that's a big thing. But it's not just AI. It's everything going to the fucking cloud infrastructure and fucking service model. Can't own a goddamn product anymore. We have to rent fucking everything. You know, it goes by, you'll own nothing. And like, and like, we had it. All just fucking,
that's it.
Yeah, like, if we, like, you can download local AI. I don't give a shit. I give zero fucks if you want to download ChatGPT locally and then ask it questions about the Amazon autistically for 6 hours. I give zero shits. I cannot stress that enough. But what I fucking hate is when they turn that and every other fucking thing into a subscribe service that you have to pay into and pay monthly because you're never going to fucking own anything. That's the fucking problem. Because, like, investors just see that as an endless cash cow. And I don't fucking know how, because then they go home and they bitch about all the things that they have to subscribe to. Like, the cognitive dissonance is just fucking staggering.
Yeah. Rich, what were you going to say, bro?
Okay, so, yeah, a couple quick comments. First and foremost, Tony, you made the comment about, yes, there will come a time when you will step away from gaming. I would just like to say, the developers who work on all these fighting games, they will be very devastated when this day comes. Yes, so let's hope that that doesn't happen anytime soon. So two quick comments to make. What I find hilarious about all this stuff with Sony is they choose not to respond, and in a way they are responding, because I saw when people were waiting for them to see what they were going to post on their Twitter account, and sure enough, they post this fight stick. Oh, and yeah. then they let you know days later, oh, wait a second, we have to let you know this is going to be a delayed process because we still got to figure out all the parts to make sure we have enough to make this stick. So the fact that they came out and talked about that, and they immediately, sometime after, mentioned some issues they were having with that, that lets you know they could have easily responded to all the backlash that they have been seeing, obviously, and they choose not to respond. So we'll see what happens. And the last point that I was going to make is I'm very curious to see what will happen at San Diego Comic-Con when they have all these panels. Mm. And yeah, this is like next week or weekend. All these games are going to be there. Wolverine, God of War, Lafay, that's Carlos's most anticipated game. That will be there as well. So I want to see if people are going to have the same energy to have stuff when people are going up on stage. I'm not saying do anything crazy like, you know, yelling at the people working on the game, but they have to make it known, because I want to see if all of this stuff that I'm seeing online translate to happening at events so that Sony gets the message even louder. We got to do something about this.
Yeah. Interesting. So you think they'll actually be customers and not plants?
No, I don't. To be honest. to be honest, I think it'll just they'll just say, you know, we're not answering any questions about physical discs.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yep.
They're going to be like, no, we're not answering.
It'll be that, or they're going to throw a few $1,000 at some people to stand in street clothes and ask them stupid fucking questions. Like on at this point, like if I'm giving anybody zero benefit of the doubt, it's one of those as a C-level C-suite executive, am I really going to sit there and say, yeah, $8,000 worth of fucking street plans to make sure that we don't tank $100,000 or more in stock prices over the course of an afternoon is fucking worth it. Yes, it's worth it. For somebody that has no morality and no relationship to truth, yes, it's worth it.
But yeah, Rich, go ahead. Finish your point, Brett.
I was just going to say, to Rich's question, I think as a consumer, my response has gotten to, I don't know if I fucking care anymore, like, because it's all just more lies anyway.
What do you say to that, Rich?
Hey, I'm totally fine with that. I want more people to have that response. But you know, I feel like there's going to be a majority that still is buying stuff, and that's where Sony will be like, well, we still got a lot of people buying stuff, so we're not going to make any changes. So, but I do want to see where this is going. They have to respond at some point to this because they see the backlash. The question is, how are they going to react to it later?
Yeah,
I think they're going to go full arrogant Sony again, man. I don't think, like, I think here's the unit. You and I are sitting there like, any sane, responsible, halfway thinking entity would make a response to this. Meanwhile, PlayStation's in the corner eating crayons, hitting itself with a hammer. Like, it is that bad.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
I see it more like PlayStation is over there just going, la, 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 with their hands in the air, la, 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 la.
Pretty much, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
That's true. Microsoft is eating crayons. That's more accurate.
Yeah, they're still eating.
Yeah. But no, Rich, to your point, it will be interesting to see if anybody is about that life. Because remember, it's very easy to go on Twitter to complain. A little bit more difficult to do it face to face. So we'll see about that. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up was there's a lot of different gaming communities, right? The same guys that are on Twitter complaining about no discs are not the same people that made the PlayStation Store crash because everybody was buying Call of Duty digitally. So it's like, that's not fight. There's like, yeah, you're fighting a good fight for no disc, but you have all these other people that Manny will call scabs saying, fuck it, I want my Call of Duty. Fuck that shit. Yep. Or if they even know it's happening, which they probably don't. Let's just be honest.
To be honest, like, for the people buying Call of, I'm sorry, like,
keep it real.
All those guys are is just they're interested in Call of Duty sports ball, and that's all they're fucking. You know what I mean? Like
sports ball.
You literally can throw as long as you throw them something that's good enough, it's fine. They'll just like, all right, that's great. You know, I get some shit. That's
yep.
Manny, ready for this?
Lowest common denominator, shooter man.
As gun and ball gamers.
Yeah, that's gun what they, that's gamers, what I, yeah. That's what. Yeah, Echo Crimson used to that ball and gun types. Yeah, ball and okay. Brett, what's the official word now? Ball and gun gamers.
No, gun and ball because it's a play off the word cock and balls.
There you go. Gun and ball gamers.
That's a different.
You guys want to get mad at anybody for making this? Or you know, no this. Blame those guys. You know,
again, like those guys, I'll tell you, those guys are never going to question us. They're just like, okay, it costs, this game costs $100. I'll get it.
It's Call of Duty.
They're the same clowns that fall for that, for those fucking, foot and those other little things that EA used to put in there. Same fucking people.
Shark card motherfuckers, too. Let's be honest.
Shark card motherfuckers, like it's literally all those people. The ones that just accept and consume. And if you change the rules, they're just like, oh, I guess that's the way it is. It's the same people that get fooled by the fucking commercial that says PlayStation at the end of the Call of Duty commercial and think that it's not on fucking Xbox.
Yes.
But have you guys been seeing the backlash against the bootlickers? Like, that's the thing that's been fucking getting me. Is for the first time in I can't remember how long, and Tony, you're on fucking social media and that garbage heap way more than I am, so maybe you've seen it, but for the first time that I can remember in a long time, there are actively people being, when they're like, yeah, well, I see everybody out here canceling their GTA subscriptions. Meanwhile, I'm over here and I just bought a year of PlayStation Plus, and then everybody just dogpiles that guy for being the bootlicker that he is. Like, I don't know that I've seen that kind of response. Usually they're able to kind of form into their little cliques and echo chambers without just getting fucking dogpiled by the peanut gallery. But now it just seems anybody who's thrown their hat in with Sony is getting labeled a bootlicker and laughed out of town, which I fucking love. It's great.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's on Reddit because I haven't seen any of that on Twitter. Because everybody on Twitter, just seems like everybody just is very, very mad at Sony, and very few people are okay with them. You know,
I've seen some Twitter threads of holy shit. Some people trying to grandstand and be like, "I'm a Sony guy." One guy's name is his name was literally like Wolverine PS5. Like,
of course, of course, yeah. Okay. Of course. I wonder how much Sony paid him, if you know what I'm saying, Brett.
You're right.
Gallons. Shit. By the way, shout out to the chat. You guys are awesome. Evan, you see some good combos in there, Monkey Man. What are you saying? Xbox is giving people options how to convert their physical disc to digital. I don't know if that's official yet.
Yeah, that's not official yet, but that was a rumor. That was the rumor.
That would be cool.
The thing about it is that they've had a system to get your games to run for. If they had it available on their system, didn't matter if you bought it at a fucking GameStop. You stick the damn disc in there, and if it's at the store, you get your digital version.
Yep.
It's much better than a fucking Sony, because you know what they're going to do. They're going to do exactly what they did with the PSP Go.
Yep.
Where it was like they had absolutely, at least in the United States or in the West, they had absolutely no solution how to get you to get your physical games to work on the PSP Go. Japan had it though.
Ain't that interesting?
This is why I think all of a sudden the talk about the next Xbox having an open storefront, having Steam and GOG as well as the Microsoft storefront, suddenly seems like a lot more of a big deal than it did a month ago.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna move on to the next story. Crunchyroll shit. Man, so this is a pretty short story, so I'm gonna just read it off a game spot here. Not the whole thing, just parts of it. If you watch anime regularly, you are certainly aware of Crunchyroll, a subscription service that is owned by Sony that delivers many new and classic anime series to the audiences across the globe. It's the biggest name in that space, regularly beating out Netflix and Amazon for rights to stream the biggest mediums, biggest anime shows. It's also got an online store where you can buy your favorite anime on physical media, which many devoted fans do, since streaming rights to shows can frequently expire. However, in a move that has familiar echoes to Sony's decision to end production of PlayStation game discs, the Crunchyroll store is being severely scaled back, and fans of anime on discs are very unhappy. All right, so I'll skip that part. Just explain what Crunchyroll is to people who don't know what the fuck it is. Unfortunately, here's the next part. Unfortunately, it seems at the time of the Crunchyroll store being a massive anime retail store with a broad selection open to all is coming to a close. According to a recent statement and fact posted online, the store will be dropping much of its current stock and transitioning to, quote, a brand new shopping experience that will be available exclusively for mega and ultra fans, end quote. Instead of physical discs, the Crunchyroll store will focus on, quote, collectibles, curated drops, and limited release products inspired by anime series you love, end quote. So you got that doesn't sound good at all. So you got to basically subscribe to like the super tiers to get this shit. Anyway, yeah, but, go ahead, Manny.
But the thing about it is that they're converting to a full on merch, so they're just going to be selling the toys and all that other stuff and not the actual discs. They have a really significant store, like as far as anime go. Like I got was it Cyberpunk Edgerunners off of, fairly recently, and it was it's a really good release. It's got like an art book and all kinds of other really great stuff. And go get it if you like Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
So I just want to share the entirety of this bullshittery because I've been looking at this for a few days now. So now in order to shop on the Crunchyroll store, you have to be a member, but not just the basic bitch member. You have to be not the lowest tier member, but the $15 a month or a higher tier. So you have to pay.
Bitch member?
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to pay just to get into the online store for the luxury of buying things. But they're taking most of the things off. So you don't have to worry about buying manga or anime or box sets or anything anymore. We're just going to let you stream that. with our own proprietary cryptocurrency backed by USD that we're launching. Don't worry about that, though. That's just a thing that's going to all of Sony's stuff. So, like, just don't worry about that. So we're going to go ahead and remove stuff, make you pay to access the things that are remaining. And, oh, we've changed our refund policy to you have to prove that it was damaged upon receiving with pictures, or we will not give you a refund. And that is the only, so basically they adopted the Sony refund. So now you can pay for the privilege of shopping in a refund-free store that doesn't have things that conflict with media streaming licenses. Ta-da!
Fun.
Please clap.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. There's one comment here I want to focus on. I think, yeah, Echo Crimson says, so all media is being affected by the Sony decision. Yeah, who makes Blu-rays? Sony makes Blu-rays. And they're already cutting Blu-rays. Back on that that main factory that makes them.
Yeah, and Sony, they own Crunchyroll, and they own the fucking and crypto.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I just really, like, I'm not joking and being sardonic here. They have gone through several of the key regulatory process to have a USD-backed crypto that they will use as the de facto currency across all of their platforms. Why? I don't fucking know. They want to run a company off Mean Girl vibes and NFTs, but apparently this is just the fucking clown world that we live in. So yeah, they're moving to encroach on all forms of media distribution, and the currency that I guess controls that.
Yeah, Manny, what were you saying about the disc?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, like, I don't know if they're only really talking about the disc plant out in Europe.
That's the main one. They haven't talked about
the ones in Asia or anything like that. But I don't know if. Because it's a weird thing, because Sony does have the Disney license currently, and they're doing their discs. So it doesn't seem like they're not doing those.
Yeah, no, remember, they're not stopping disc production. They're scaling it back. They will still make discs. It's just not at the level they used to, probably to honor licenses like that. But the fact is, they are the ones that make Blu-rays. And if they're scaling back, you're not going to see a lot of Blu-rays out there, you know? This really does affect everybody, you know, and this is why, you know, we're hearing, you know, by the way, these reports are unsubstantiated. So, you know, don't even believe. I'm not even going to say take them with a grain of salt. Don't even take no salt, nothing. Because some dudes are saying, Xbox Helix will have a disc drive. That's the rumor. That's not it's made of bullshit. But let's just say for the sake of argument, it does have a disc drive, right? They still got to get those discs from Sony. And Sony could easily be like, "Nah, we're good. You know, we're not making any."
I don't know who produces I don't think it's only Sony. I think it was Toshiba as well. I can't remember who the other
company. Yeah, look it up, because as far as I know, and I could be dead wrong about this. I thought Sony was the main manufacturer of Blu-rays. I could be wrong though.
Panasonic.
Where does somebody like Warner Brothers or something like, or Paramount get there?
Yeah. But it is, maybe I'm thinking about it because it is their technology. So they still get a cut regardless. But yeah, Panasonic, maybe they'll manufacture this for Microsoft, you know?
Toshiba was on the other side. There were the HD DVD folks.
So Panasonic, yeah, right, Carlos? Yes,
yeah, it was Sony and Panasonic were the two main ones that
Sony, Panasonic, created. And Philips.
Oh, shit. Well, Philips CDI. Remember that, Manny? That's funny, man. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. Sony owns part of... Yeah, I mean, they created Blu-rays, you know? So they had a cut of that.
And remember, Sony, going back to the whole Crunchyroll, Sony bought Crunchyroll and Funimation. Do people still remember what Funimation was?
Yeah.
They owned them, and they... and
yeah.
Yep. And they sold a lot of the physical media, so they were roped into this whole Crunchyroll stuff. So yeah, this is really
intentional. This has been a strategic takeover for the span of the last 5 years.
Yeah, man.
Well, longer than that.
It's not good.
I mean,
and much longer than that.
They acquired Funimation in 2021, didn't they?
Yes, was that it?
During the pandemic.
Oh shit! Yo, time has no meaning anymore. I thought that was longer ago. No. But the pandemic itself did last about 10 years, so you're right about that. Certainly felt that way, you know.
So some of the, you know, there's quite a bit of companies that still do it, but that doesn't say if they do still do it. But Microsoft is listed as a manufacturer.
Oh, okay. So they make their own joint then.
Maxwell, Panasonic, Philips, Pioneer.
Honestly, this is why I brought up the open platform. Like that, it's good. It would be great if that were the case. But I think what's more likely, and honestly, what's going to be more impactful, is if GOG gets a storefront on Xbox, because you actually fucking own. Just because you have a disc doesn't mean you own shit. If something's coming off GOG, you own it straight up. So
I love that. I'm not sure if we're going to talk about this one, but they did say, you know, if you have a GOG account, you know, if you buy your games, you can burn it onto a Blu-ray disc and play or burn it onto a disc and put it on your computer. So
I saw a guy that made fucking SSD. Like he turned $8 SSD cards into a cartridge based system. Each cartridge had the game, the EXE, a small script to either boot up the Steam page or directly boot up the game from the EXE, and like a sensory module. So like, yeah, you just slid it in, and like an old NES, like slid it in, connected it, and then pressed it down. I don't know what fucking universe y'all came from that you don't have to press that shit down, because you do. Pressed it down, and yeah, it just auto-booted games. So I love that the community is like, fuck you, we're bringing cartridges back. I love that. So. But yeah, like you can put it on a, you know, a hard drive, an external hard drive, thumb drives, fucking make your own cartridge based system. Yeah, just burn your own shit. Like fuck it. We can burn our own shit, make our own art books, like print off our own, like fuck it. If they're not going to do it, I'll do it myself, make my own goddamn library.
Yeah. All right, anything else you guys want to say about this whole Crunchyroll situation?
It's another unfortunate situation. So it's like you're just gonna close all that stuff down. Like there's but still buy it. You know what? It just opens the door to just do it in some other, you know, go into some other place. You don't need to buy your things off of. The thing about it is that they still make those films. They still make those animes on Blu-ray. You just can't buy it off of their fucking. That's just the way it is. You just go somewhere. Amazon. There's a couple of other sites that do Japanese animation. So yeah, just go to those guys. Don't even bother with fucking.
Here's a question I have. If I buy a license to access Reservoir Dogs, right? Is that license tied via me, the consumer, to their storefront? Or does that just mean I have access to the media, but if they shut down their storefront, oh no, now there's no way to get it. But if I just happen to find a copy that fell off the back of a truck and I have already acquired the license to view it, theoretically, hypothetically, legally, am I in a gray area where I now have the source and the license to access the source, so I'm not doing anything illegal?
I have no idea.
There's a comic that John Romita Jr. called The Gray Area. I can't answer that question.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
I feel like, personally, completely as a hypothetical thought experiment, which we love here, I think anything that you've gotten a license to, you might be able to just stumble across the source material fully legally because you have already accessed and purchased the license to access that source material, and they think that turning off the faucet means that you can't have the glass of water that you've already poured. It doesn't. It just means that the faucet is off. So if you bottle that water, you know what I'm saying? Yarg.
On a completely unrelated note, I really like One Piece, and the Caribbean is looking really good at this time of year.
Yeah. One Piece feels relevant in a way that I can't quite put my finger on.
Yeah, Brian, what are your thoughts on all this, bro?
It seems like Sony are just out on a mission to make everyone hate them. Because I can't think of any other reason why this is a thing. And this is literally the opposite of what Gabe Newell preached about when talking about piracy. Like, the whole reason piracy exists is that it's easy. So the only way to stop it is to make, like, legit means easier. And that's it. So this is making legit means a lot harder by the sound of it. So as one goes up, the other one goes down. So yeah, it is inevitable. So again, makes no sense. And I hate it.
Also unrelated, Brian, did you hear that they got the PS5 emulator running and got Astrobot to boot up? It seems that for some reason the homebrewing community has got their feathers in a ruffle over some recent news and have gotten a fire lit under their asses to get this PS5 emulator working. Weird.
Oh, it is. And I actually had a thought the other day. I can imagine that when PS6 drops, then there'll be a really quick rush to jailbreak that due to the situation. So,
hey, there's
so I can expect.
Oh, he's gone now.
I can expect like a PS6 jailbreak coming out very quick after launch if people are that determined.
Yeah, I mean, seems like Sony's pushing people to this. It's crazy. All right, man. Let's move on. Next story. A little bit of a, let's call it a buffer between the Xbox news. This one's just stupid. So the GameStop CEO is now, remember GameStop, who built their entire business model on reselling you games, physical games, right? And they were out there for a very long time, you know, making fun of companies that would not release physical games. That was their thing. Now the GameStop CEO is out there saying that, and I'm quoting right now, physical games are totally irrelevant. This is also the same guy who's trying to buy eBay, by the way.
Yeah, this same dude. Fucking show.
This fucking crazy asshole.
I'm saying. I was saying before. I said on my Twitter. I'm like, I bet the Stonks guys are regretting their decision of saving that fucking company.
Yeah, right.
Yep. 100%. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this bitch gets handed a second. This bitch gets a genuine Deus Ex Machina in real fucking life. And this is what the fuck you do with it? Jesus fucking Christ!
I mean, I feel like with this guy, the Stonks guy should just burn that company totally. Do fucking short the shit out of that company. Just get rid of it. Just done.
Yeah.
So well, I would say the reasoning why he's saying this is not only that, you know, to because of what he's saying because he's a nut job, but I also think it's because in general, GameStop has effectively been trying to move away from fully being game dependent.
Yeah. Right here it says only 18% of what it makes is from video games.
Yes, a lot of it is if you remember they bought ThinkGeek and they bought a couple of other companies that made merch and stuff like that. The main thing is that if you ever even go to the stores these days, before the whole store used now like maybe a quarter of it is game stuff, which is the main consoles, which is on one like wall, and then the rest of the GameStop is like selling toys, selling cards, which is big business for them. You could fucking crazy people that go over the stupid like magic crossover cards.
Yeah, and fucking Pokemon cards. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, all of that shit. Like, you know, like they're selling figures, they're selling shirts, they're selling everything, you know, around gaming, you know, nerd shit. So that's where they're. That's why he's saying a crazy thing like, and also let me also add they've also began their initiative to sell like like classic games. So they've gone back to classic. If you go to your current game, like if you can find a GameStop, if you go there, like at least on mine, between the Xbox, which is pushed all the way to the back of the store, by the way, but right next to the PlayStation is retro. Where they have literally retro games, like you can buy N64 games, PlayStation 3 games, you know, all the stuff, even like, you know, Game Boy games. So they have a section. They legitimately have a section devoted to like retro game that pushes the Xbox section even further, which is weird because Xbox or Microsoft does have a stake at GameStop.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it?
Anyway.
Clown world. That's all I'm going to say about this. Clown world.
I hate it that it's GameStop that was the last video game store.
Yeah.
Like chain video game store. I hated that it's them. I wish it was like, you know, B Games, which they do exist. They merged or they bought them out. In Canada, they're called EB Games, but it's the same fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah. I mean, GameStop was always the most cockroachy of those companies.
Well, oh, yeah. The cockroachiest of them all was fucking Funko Land.
Oh, Funko Land
Funko Land was a piece of shit. That was the one that was the oh, by the way, you realize that GameStop or pawn shops, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have to, in order to be able to sell and resell, you know, buy and resell games, you have to have a pawn shop license. So literally every single GameStop is a fucking pawn shop. Think about that one for a second.
Oh, man.
I mean, none of them are good. I worked in a local franchise game store, and they were also awful. And they're inherently predatory and not good. Like, the entire model that it's built off of is fucking the customer out of half of their value.
Yep.
Yeah. They have very little. They give you very little you could be selling them like a really expensive console or something like that, and they'll just give you shit from. But
yeah, I mean the model was they're gonna give you 25% of what they're gonna sell it for.
You know, and then all the fun morose shit that they used to do back in the day, where they used to open up some of the games that were sold. You know, that were there, and then they put them in the used section, and they dropped the price like maybe like $1 or $2.
Is that supposed to accomplish? Because every time I went there, because I was like back in the day, I was part of the problem, and I don't love that now that I see what it's come down to. But also, fuck it.
They worked for you at the time. I don't think the thing is you were doing. I remember you talking about this stuff, where you're like, yeah, man, I got this game for this down. I'm like, you were doing what a person who doesn't have a lot of money does. They're looking for a good deal, getting your games at prices that feel worth it to you. And I think we go back to the whole like physical discs thing. It's like you don't have that option now. Like we have those stupid like algorithms that essentially look at you and look at what you spend, and then they give you your little sales whenever the fuck they feel like it. And there's legitimate proof on the PlayStation store that they do this shit. So like they're only the outlet that you can get these things.
I also love how they're like, oh, we're not charging you more. We're just using it as a variable to decide if we should charge you less. And I was like, what the fuck is the difference? If you get everybody else a sale of 40%, but you give Tony a sale of 20%, you're charging him more. You'd be like, oh, I'm just charging him less. Yeah. What in the name of fucking girl math is this bullshit? Get the fuck out of here. Like, you're still charging. And also, again, this is coming from the company of, I have altered the deal. Pray I do not alter it further. Yeah, okay, you're using it to not charge people for now with no guarantee that that's not going to change immediately as soon as I turn my back. And even if you did give me a guarantee, ain't worth shit. So, I don't know. Like, at a certain point, this whole thing has just gone too clown world. I don't even know where to fucking start or what ground to stand on. Because at a certain point, I've gotten to the point where I was like, swear to God, everything out of almost every of these major companies' mouths is a straight-up lie. Nothing can be believed. Everything is going to be the worst possible version that it can. Like, we've gone past the point of the gaming industry is going to die into, dear God, let's just fucking burn it down to send a message to whatever the fuck grows out of the ashes next.
Yeah, it's not looking good. All right, keep on going with the bad news. Let's talk about Xbox, people. This one, I would guess it's a little bit more insider baseball, because this is more how it affects the people that work at Xbox, but pretty grim stuff. This from Eurogamer. The headline kind of says it all. So everybody loves these long headlines now. They kind of tell you the whole story. I don't know how anyone remaining at Xbox Studios can feel safe. A new report reveals...
Wait. That was the title?
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay. Wait, there's more.
I said it's a long headline.
Are you going to tell me what the semicolon is?
Anyway, I'll read it again. I don't know how anyone remaining at Xbox Studios can feel safe. New report reveals environment of uncertainty and fear and a staggering loss of institutional knowledge.
What the fuck? That's a fucking paragraph right there.
Oh yeah, that's how it is now. A lot of these things are paragraphs. Look at the titles from PC Gamer specifically. They're legit paragraphs.
Who wrote these titles? Philip K. Dick?
Yeah, the problem is they get traffic, and nowadays you look for whatever traffic you can because AI is gobbling everything up. You know,
sell it to you for wholesale.
Clouds here. I find it awfully fucking suspicious that all of the big gaming companies suddenly come out with notoriously similar articles that just say, come on, guys, you really don't need physical games. Physical games are dead. Digital games are the future. Quit being crybabies about it. Because I was fucking there. I saw the leaked emails from fucking Gamergate. I'm going to be that guy. I saw that shit from Gamergate talking about, this is going to be the new news cycle that we tell people, and they're just going to fucking accept it.
I've seen this shit happen before. I don't buy that shit's not happening again. Get out of here with your fucking boot licking.
Yeah. To be fair, though, which websites are saying this, though? Most of them are dunking on Sony and Microsoft.
Oh, like Kotaku and Polygon and all those are fucking Kotaku's coming been out shit. There giving.
They've been no, dunking Kotaku's on fucking. Been shitting on, yeah. They've been hardcore shitting on PlayStation and Microsoft.
Oh, so this work in both sides? Jesus. Okay.
No, I mean, Kotaku hasn't had an article about that. But yes, I know there is like these sort of like cut and paste like articles that have been showing
up. Yeah, that's for real. Yeah. But like, you know, but most of those big sites are all shitting on them. Now, if you're talking about enthusiast sites, yeah, some of those guys are absolutely carrying water, but they're on the fringes, you know, like I'm just going to call them out, like Push Square, you know, the Sony Pony website. They're like, oh, guys, what are you complaining about, you know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're going to 8 days a week.
Yeah, but no, the big guys, IGNs and stuff, they're all fucking... They're not happy with Microsoft and Sony right now, you know, which is surprising. You'd think they'd be against the gamers, you know. But anyway, I want to read these two paragraphs here because this is interesting. So the report says that staff were kept in the dark about the restructuring for weeks after Bloomberg's initial report said layoffs were on their way. Higher ups didn't even know or didn't say, and it was left to all of us to speculate and spiral and worry. When the announcement did finally come, staff were gathered for a brief one-way video call and were unable to ask questions and response, which isn't uncommon when addressing large teams about serious issues like this. However, at id Software specifically, staff affected by layoffs were only told 10 minutes before a meeting was called to announce them, meaning some people didn't make it and their Slack and email access were immediately revoked, leaving them unable to be contacted. That's fucked up. Could you imagine that shit? I don't have to imagine. I've seen some of that shit firsthand. You know, you coming in the morning, you think everything's cool. Yep. By 10 a.m., you're fucking gone, you know? That's happened to colleagues of mine, you know?
Do people usually get... And this is obviously because I've been only worked retail and for myself. Do people usually get notice before they get fired?
Yeah.
Before the meeting that they get told that they're getting fired?
Yeah.
In back the way it used to be, you get invited, you know, into the office with your boss and they say, you know, they give you a little spiel and then, you know, pack up.
Listen, I you know what? I can say this because it's fucking...
That's just getting fired though, isn't it?
They call it laid off, you know?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying like...
It's laid off or your position has been eliminated. It's the nice version of that.
Yeah, so you don't get a warning leading up to that, right? Like, so when they're like, hey, these people got no warning about the meeting that was... them getting fired or laid off at
that was probably the thing that said, like, in other words, that's the thing you go where you go into a room with your boss, right? And they say, oh, you know, we can't, this is going to happen.
Yeah, you don't get a warning before that, you know. You come in the morning, you're preparing for your week, everything's going fine, then you get an email, oh, the boss needs to talk to you. Or you get an email, we're sorry to announce that all these firings are going to be happening. Your managers will talk to you in due time.
Yeah, so what the fuck is Id talking about? They only got 10 minutes notice. Like, you got 10 minutes heads up before you got fired?
Yeah.
That sounds like somebody did you a solid.
No, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, like, imagine you logged into work, you're ready to roll, and then you get fired? That doesn't sound like fun to me. You know, that's the shit I worry about every fucking day, you know?
Isn't that how you get fired? Like, I'm not saying it's good, but is that not the nature of like how you get fired? I don't think they have we need to have a talk conversation with you.
I mean, usually it is we have to have a talk with, especially if the situation was an uncontrollable situation, like they'll talk to you and they'll be like, oh, hey, da da da, they'll give you the whole deal. But like this one, it just seems like it's incredibly cold. Like, it's like, okay, you know, at one point we were supposed to be this, you know, we were worthwhile. Right? All of a sudden now we're just like, you know.
But Brett, to your point, no, what happened is not uncommon because I've seen it happen where you come in, you think everything. Yeah, it is common. Again, I've seen it firsthand. And again, I can say this publicly because it's in the public. Yes, my company has suffered severe layoffs, and my team members, the guys I work with, logged in that morning, and then 1 hour later, they're gone, and they had no fucking clue, you know?
Look, I can give a little bit of the other side, and this is partially where my absolute hatred of C-suite executives comes from, and that my dad was the guy who oftentimes had to do the layoffs because some asshole in a fucking sleek Italian cut suit came in and said, cut 20% of your staff, and just left the fucking, left it to him to tear his hair out. Like, I saw that dude sitting up at nights just agonizing over it. And I think the only reason, like, he didn't leave that job, because he had to do this, like, I want to say at least a half dozen times over different parts of his career. The only reason the dude didn't leave is because when you're in, like, what the fuck are you going to do? Just hope the axe doesn't come for you and stay in line. Otherwise, you're going to be out next. But I've seen this from the other side. So if it ever sounds like I'm sensitive to, you know, the business side, it's not. It's I understand that these are tough decisions that aren't necessarily made in a vacuum. And when it comes down to cut 20% of your work staff, it is both a tragedy and also hunting down the person you can do the, you know, you can live without. So it is performance based and all of that as well. I guess I don't even know. What I'm saying is, I've watched this happen from the other side. Never mind. I'm trailing off. Fuck it.
Yeah. The point is, it's like, now these guys, remember, it's only half the staff that's been laid off. So, you know, they're now fearing that, you know, who's like, oh, who's going to be next? Who's going to be the next 1600? And my thing is, I can't be an environment that's conducive to creativity if you're just in constant fucking fear of being fired. You know, think about what happened, Brett.
That's why you don't give them notice. Oh my, which one do you want? Not you, but this hypothetical person. Yeah. Which one do you want? Do you want to be told you're going to be laid off? Or do you want to not know the layoffs are coming? You can't be like, oh, I'm sitting around in perpetual dread, and then they fired me with no notice out of left field. You can't sit around in anticipation worrying for too long and then be unprepared when the axe falls. It cannot be both. Like, this is where I get upset. Like, it's not about the fucking people and their jobs. Like, I feel really bad for you, but quit being fucking disingenuous.
I don't see how they're being disingenuous. Explain, Brian. Go ahead.
Okay. I think the issue is like a compounding. Well, it's both bad on both sides, because on the one side, if it's just instantaneous dismissal, then it's the fact that there was no notice. So everyone left over is left terrified. But then from the other end, if there is some heads up, granted, there is some, but if it's less than 1 day's notice that it's going to happen, then that still instills fear, because you then need to be there knowing that, okay, at most you only have 1 day left if you are getting fired every single day. So it's kind of like the question of what's more terrifying, being shot at any time or being shot with 1 hour notice?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. There's not a good answer. So, like,
Shot?
To be transparent. Yeah, well, there is that. Yeah. Like, to be transparent, part of my fire comes from, I'm pretty pissed at Bethesda right now for just being absolute bitches about it, for going to fucking Blue Sky of all places to cry about how they're afraid that this may put a delay on the next fucking Elder Scrolls. Like, they haven't spent it the last 8 years doing nothing with it. And then, yeah, going to fucking Blue Sky and holding a fucking memorial candlelight vigil in their lobby with photos and fucking roses they plastered all over social media. Like, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, Brett, with your pedantic, like, crowdsourcing of fucking sympathy for a job you could manage to do over the last fucking decade.
Brett?
Yes.
Todd Howard had an interview recently where he said, we want our fans to miss the game.
Fuck you, Todd.
So Elder Scrolls 5 came out, or Skyrim came out, what, 2011? 2012? I forget which year.
By the way, Brett, to be clear, your fire's at Bethesda, right? Not id. Because id's been putting out games. Okay, it literally put out a fucking game on the week that everybody got fired, you know?
Yeah, no. I said my fire is at Bethesda, Fair enough. I think other people are catching shrapnel, because it showed me how disingenuous these people are on the developer side. For the longest time, I've been strictly for the developers, but this has shown me that there are just meandering pissants who have infiltrated the developer space, who are dragging development into the span of decades. Like, fucking, at this point, Elder Scroll games are like legends of yore once told to you while you were a child on your granddad's knee. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous that we have a decade between shit, right? Like, if you have 5 years, so that's from the time you're 13 to the time you fucking move out, from the time you're a teenager, people will fucking forget about you. That is not acceptable in any way. And for them to try and frame it as, oh, this is a big bad company coming in and making heads, done nothing for 8 years. You're sitting there at a company bitching about how you don't want to be the company that just has two buttons. It only makes two things. You go from the Fallout button to the Elder Scrolls button. Guess what? You had one of your buttons taken away. Now you're only a company with one fucking button. Congratulations, Todd. And if you can't manage to hit that fucking button in the next 10 goddamn years, we're going to throw you out the fucking window. All right, I'm done. I just had to get that out. Thank you.
Yeah, but Brett, there's a problem. Yeah.
What's that?
The next story is about Bethesda.
God damn it.
So get ready to throw in again. Oh, anyway, what's up? What's up, Rich?
I got a quick question for Carlos. Now, well, yeah, because Carlos said that Todd Howard made a statement, you said, correct, Carlos?
Yeah, I mean, he was essentially, they were talking about the release dates for their games, and he was like, yeah, well, we want them to miss our games. Take two
fuck
decades.
Fuck out of here with that bullshit, you know?
So Carlos, what you're basically saying is that he's saying he wants us all to be elderly men and women by the time we see another Elder Scrolls game. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Well, it goes back to the whole Brett thing. It's like you're literally jumping over a generation where it's like you're like people who are fans of Elder Scrolls Skyrim that were in their, I don't know, 50s then are gonna be in their 80s when the next one comes out. You know, people who are fans of Skyrim when they were in their 20s are probably going to be in their 50s when this comes out.
It's so true.
Yeah. Miss me with that fucking bullshit, man. It's you.
I don't think Todd understands like how can we miss you if you don't go away. That yes, it is a thing, but you don't take 10 years to do that. You know.
Here's the problem is more than 10 years. That's the crazy part.
Here's the thing. Todd is capable of being a fucking liar. And I think this might be an instance where he is, because if he wanted us to miss it, maybe don't release Skyrim 97 times, fucking Todd. If you like, yeah, go away. If you want us to miss you, go away.
Yeah.
I know. I would prefer that you just go back and work on the next fucking Elder Scrolls instead of another release of Skyrim on my fucking refrigerator. Can we all agree on that?
But they didn't say, you know. Part of the whole reasoning thing is, oh, we're still releasing Elder Scrolls stuff. We're still doing Fallout stuff, and it's them justifying the whole Fallout 76 and Elder Scrolls Online bullshit of it all. It's like, oh, we got these services that are making us money. Why the hell do we need to release these games? There's the Elder Scrolls 6. Yeah, that got announced in 2018. It was used like how I said it was going to be used as a freaking buzzword to get the people happy just for that moment, so they can say, oh, Xbox One E3 or whenever the hell that thing came out. It's like that's the whole purpose. When, you know, Fable got announced, when Perfect Dark got announced, they were all shovelware at that time. And Elder Scrolls 6, who knows where the hell that's the state of that game is right now. But that ain't coming out anytime soon.
They weren't shovelware, they were vaporware.
Thank you, Manny. That's a better term. They're vaporware.
Yeah, at least shovelware comes out. You know? By the way, this is me, you know, adjusting my glasses, right?
What about Starfield?
What about Starfield? And then Brett's like, what about Starfield?
What about Starfield?
Yeah. Let's fucking talk about Starfield, Todd. The machine that has two buttons. You installed a third button that makes a shit Sunday. Cool. We're all going to collectively agree that button should not be there. Go the fuck back to making Elder Scrolls. You had one taken away from you in what is honestly the most delicious twist of fucking irony and fate I've seen in fucking forever. Because Todd hates New Vegas. Todd fucking hates New Vegas. They made a PowerPoint to show to the guys who made New Vegas about everything wrong with what they did with New Vegas. And the audacity to do that to the company that literally invented the game that you read, like, you are the one that you are the intruder here. You're the one that came in and went, hey, what if we put your game in a janky ass Elder Scrolls engine? And then you did that for one game, And then it got passed back to the people who made the IP, and you had the audacity to fucking come in with a PowerPoint presentation on everything they did wrong. Todd, you can go fuck all 5 foot 4 inches of yourself or whatever the fuck the hobbit size you are.
Todd Howard looks like a grown-up child actor. I just have to say it. He looks like
looks like a long hobbit.
Yes. Yes, he does.
I thought it and I have not been able to unthink it. I was like, yeah, the long hobbit.
Yes. Let's just switch over because we're already talking about Bethesda. And Brett, I definitely want your thoughts on this one, bro. And again, I'm reading one of these long headlines because the headline says that they take a quote and then the actual headline. That's how it works now.
Okay, I gotta ask, are headlines like the new, like, I got reincarnated as a slime or something like that? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, it's just everybody scrambling to get traffic back up because AI stealing all our traffic. That's what's happening. Anyway, I'll just get to the short part. Bethesda union members organized protests in response to Xbox layoffs. Basically, whatever union is responsible for Bethesda games, they're organizing a strike next week, to protest being fired. So what are your thoughts on that, Brett?
I don't know if they just didn't want to have sign-up sheets for the next round of layoffs, and you just figured this would be the next best thing, but... You do you, boo. I'm interested. It's a bold strategy. Let's see how this works.
Yeah. So this is what the union organizers have been saying. Go ahead, and then I'll read some quotes here.
Here's the thing these assholes don't understand. Like, we live in a weird society where it's illegal to fire people, even for being incompetent a lot of times. So you have to wait for the downsizing to happen. But when the downsizing does happen, the people that get selected are one of two camps. They're either very expensive or they're inept.
Yeah.
Sometimes both. But usually it's in there. So a lot of the people that you hear, like, some of them are really big legacy developers, or some of them are people that, you know, their career has just kind of moved on. And although they should be, you know, being taken care of in their sunset years, they have a new manager that doesn't give a shit about them. And they kind of, you know, get thrown on the wayside. Like, that also sucks. But a huge chunk of this is people that have been earmarked to be fired for years. And I can't help but think, this is a great way to get yourself tell me to like it. And then when I said that I didn't, just say, oh, it's just going to make you miss Elder Scrolls more when we finally give it to you. No, you kind of have to have aligned motivations for me to be an ally. And I think I'm probably one of the first people, definitely not one of the last, that's kind of just washing my hands of the whole thing. Be like, none of these are the companies that I grew up with, the companies that I care about, or even that care about me. And that extends beyond, oh, I'm excited about their next release. It extends to when you feel like you've been unfairly fired for failing to produce for a fucking decade. Tell me why I should give you any good graces when you view me as a toxic problem to the industry that needs to be cleansed. You've already told me you don't want my money, you don't want my support, but now you want my support when you've gotten fired because your company wants my money. No, just no. Go back to Blue Sky. I don't care. I'm done caring. Life's not fair.
Yeah. I think there's a little snafu with the stream there, so sorry about that. But Dio, they do have a union. This is coming from the Bethesda's union. So anyway, so here's the one quote I wanted to read from them. Let's see if I can find it. The company wants us to accept this as a done deal and quietly disappear. We won't let that happen. Our next steps are to mobilize. We need every single member visible and unified. Yeah, we'll see how that works, because they can fire all your asses.
There's more to that. There's more to that quote I've actually heard, which I think is important, and I find it very interesting they cut it off there.
Go for it.
Because after that it says, we need to make sure that we send a message and they think twice before they ever attempt to do anything like this again. Mm. And I remember that because somebody had followed that up with, that sounds like the exact same thing a sweaty Discord mod would say before banning you because they don't like your tone. And I had never heard a more accurate call. I was like, oh, yeah, 100%. That is the most neckbeardy thing ever. And fuck that. Like, you cannot threaten a company into being terrified of laying off incompetent employees. And it's that comment that makes me feel comfortable including the word incompetent.
So, yeah, we'll see what comes of this next week, if these guys really will go on strike or not. You know? Wild shit, man. All right.
I'm actually curious.
What's up?
I do want to know, is chat roasting me for being a heartless freelancer, or like, am I anywhere near the comment on this? Like, I'm curious how off base I, or how off I'm
here. No, they're all dunking on Bethesda too. They don't like Bethesda. So you're fine.
I mean, yeah, make a good game. Maybe we'll change our mind.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. The entire chat's like, fuck Bethesda. If they're even calling Bethesda, some are just calling Bugfesta. So, you're not going to find any Bethesda fans here. It looks like, Brett.
Can I just share one of the most hilarious things in here? One of the reasons that they are kind of pushing back and having this this fear that it's going to get developed is because the legacy Bethesda engine is known for its quirks, and without long-time developers there to translate those quirks, new developers may have trouble approaching the engine in a way that makes significant gains. And I'm like, cool. So basically, your new engine is too garbage without Ted from the old days who knows how to make it actually. And so if you actually give it to competent developers, they're going to be like, what is this garbage, and not be able to do anything. That is the most terrible reason to push back against layoffs. We need old people because everything is so broken, we need them for the workarounds.
Yeah. All right. And the last story here, this one kind of interesting. I'm not going to say it's bad news, but it kind of is, I guess, if you're depending on how much of a fan you were. But Glenn Schofield, veteran of the video game industry for 35 years, worked at EA, created Dead Space franchise, is retiring. Didn't give a reason why either. He's just retiring. Pretty interesting stuff there.
Have you also seen what he looks like now?
Yeah, that's the elephant in the room we got to discuss, because I'm wondering if his appearance is a reason why he's retiring, because he looks like he lost a lot of weight really fast and not in the healthy way.
Yeah,
you know, because remember when why am I forgetting the name of that fucking horrible Dead Space like game that he made? Probably because it was horrible. But when he was doing the interview rounds for that back in 2020. He looked nice and healthy. Glenn Schofield was always a big, like, kind of dude that worked out and shit. You see him now, you're like, whoa, you're like a desiccated husk. I'm not saying that in, like, a funny way either. I'm like, I'm kind of worried here. So I'm wondering if that's the reason why he's retired. He's not exactly an old guy, you know? Although he looks a lot older nowadays. Like, what the? It's like the Frank Miller situation happened with him. It's like, whoa, you didn't look like that. How the hell, how did Frank Miller from Sin City go to Spirit Frank Miller? What the hell happened? You know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
So is it between projects? Like, he didn't just finish something and
No, I mean, not that I know of.
I think though the big thing that's what's happening, especially after Callisto,
Callisto Protocol. Thank you.
I think it was difficult for him to get any sort of work after that. You know?
Oh really?
Yeah, because it not only did atrociously. But also the company, you know, the I think it was NetEase also kind of fucked him over too.
Oh yeah. But yeah, he was in everything. Go ahead, bro.
I'm just always wary when highly creative people suddenly retire between projects. That's for people. Those kind of people usually live to work, right? Yeah, like
we don't know if he was between projects. Just to be clear, we do not know if he was in between projects. We don't know. So just to be clear,
no, between release, like he had Callisto Protocol. Like, you would expect somebody like that to finish this big project and be like, and that was my opus, I'm done now. Not finish it, not be heard from for a while, and then suddenly retire. Like, that sounds like you're looking for something or trying to start up something new. Like, that, I don't know, man. That doesn't sound like...
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Ideally, creatives, we do a big project as, like, our final thing, and then we just crawl off to die somewhere. I think most creatives kind of want to do it that way. If we make a big project and then disappear for a while and then suddenly go, yeah, I'm not done. It either means like we've bottomed out or we've been like, I just don't have the energy to start again, which is usually like, you know, somebody stuck a stick in your bike wheel kind of thing. It makes me nervous. I don't like seeing creatives suddenly retire like that. So I'll, even though I'm not a huge Dead Space fan, I recognize talent and that's a damn shame. Hope everything's okay.
Again, like I said, that's why I'm worried. I'm like, it looks like you lost an unhealthy amount of weight and you're suddenly retiring. Who knows, man?
And then, to be honest, he was looking like he was getting pretty emotional about it. I don't think he's gone into detail as to if there's anything wrong with him. But again, like either whatever the chase was getting to him, you know what I mean? Like he's just so committed to trying to get something going that it just totally took its toll on him. He has some sort of health problem that haven't been addressed.
So we'll see. But regardless, you know, even though obviously Callisto Protocol was not great, you know, the guy contributed a lot to the gaming industry. So shout out to Glenn Schofield for sure. You know, anybody just want to comment on him?
I mean, if you go to his Instagram, he's always drawing. Like he's got a lot.
Yeah, he's an artist. That's how he started.
He's very much into horror shit. So he's got a lot of these drawings that he's drawing on his Instagram.
Yeah, that's how he started in history. He started as an artist and then worked his way up. Go ahead, Carlos. You gonna say something? Somebody was gonna say something. Nope.
I was gonna say. It is unfortunate. Obviously, Callisto Protocol, I remember that game because that was the game where Adam rage quit. He just could not get through the game, and that was what I always was laughing because I know when I played the game, it's very frustrating to do those that new mechanic. So, definitely grateful for what he did as far as Dead Space. He also did work on the Call of Duty franchise, and the games that he worked on in that Call of Duty franchise were actually pretty good. I did hear that he did try to pitch EA a Dead Space 4 multiple times. This is after Callisto Protocol failed, and they did not accept the pitch.
So. Fucking EA.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Rich, I don't know if you saw the news. EA has basically effectively said they've put Need for Speed and Burnout on ice because they'd rather work on Battlefield instead.
Oh, I did see that, and I would be curious to get your opinion on that because I think that's a bad decision. But that's
bullshit.
Not good.
It's fucked up. Yeah, I've been screaming about a new Burnout for fucking years. I mean, when did Burnout Paradise come out? 2008. You know, we had the remake, which was fantastic. No fucking Burnout at all. And now apparently we're not going to get Need for Speed either. They're like, fuck that. We got to concentrate on Battlefield. It's fucking horseshit, man.
It's not good.
I thought they already put it on ice because I've not heard of any of those games in a long time.
Yeah, right. And it's crazy about Need for Speed, Brian, because that was almost a yearly franchise. Even that's gone, you know?
I think when they had that news article that said something like Battlefield developers Criterion are doing this. And I think it was when I read that, that's when I knew that, yeah, something's gone wrong here because this isn't right. But yeah.
No.
Yeah, hold on. I just realized that the last two Burnout games were both Burnout Paradise.
Yes, they were.
Jesus.
That's crazy, man.
Yep, we're done.
Yeah, get a horse shit. Gaming industry, everything's great. It's very fantastic. Greatest fucking industry ever.
Brian's will break.
Hold on, when they said Criterion is... Never mind, I can't. Brian, you broke me. I can't.
Battlefield Developers Criterion.
That is insane. That's not the game that's supposed to go in the front.
Funny thing is, I actually was shocked that Criterion actually worked on the Battlefield games when I read that. I was like, wait, what? They did? Oh, cool. Good for them.
Yeah. I guess the only saving grace is Criterion is still around. Oh, man. Monkey's paw, Brian. Yeah.
But they're the
I know the, Brett. I know
they're not the Burnout company.
They're Battlefield. Brian already said it. The Battlefield developer Criterion.
And then and then to end like an episode of The Twilight Zone. What's a Burnout?
The sad part is there's some Gen Z kids that will legitimately ask that. No irony. What's Burnout? What the hell are you talking about? What's that? Is that working too hard?
It's a mode in GTA 6.
Fuck. Is that a new TikTok video? What is that? Is that 6-7? What is that? Fuck. We're cooked, bro. Our hobby's fucking done. Come on,
skibbity Riz.
Anyway, let's get out of here, man, before I get more pissed off or depressed. I don't even know anymore, you know? Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition, sir?
Oh, yeah, so still working on a couple of things. There's a couple of things I have been playing that I cannot talk about yet, but I will be able to talk about this stuff soon, so stay tuned for that. I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. Continue to check out all the shows he is covering. both on the TV terminal on YouTube as well as thecoalition.com. And I also want to take a moment to give a special shout out to my very good friend, you know, Gary Swaby and Dana Abercrombie, because the power show that Gary and I started recording, this is actually the 10th year that that show has been active.
Wow.
So, yeah, I wanted to shout that out. I know a lot of people may not watch Power, although we do have a dedicated audience on the YouTube channel that has been watching that show. So, yeah, I wanted to acknowledge that. Say, yeah, it's been great covering the show for 10 years. Do not think that Power will still be around in the next 10 years, but hey, we'll see what happens. We'll continue to cover it, but we appreciate anybody that's been checking out that content.
50 Cent has another show I saw. They, you know, that that Power poster, Rich, they switched it for another one. Fight something.
Fightland.
Yeah, Fightland, yeah.
And I will not be covering that show. But yes, I did see that. No, I'm not covering that show. We got other things going on with Stars, but no, I'm not covering that.
All right, there you go.
Stars.
And Manny, since you're talking, what you got going?
Yes. So, I have a Dinner Date by Joanne, written by Joanne Starr, drawn by Carter Randolph, and colors by myself. I'm going to keep talking about this until the damn book comes out in October. It's just in time for Halloween. It's a vampire, horror vampire comedy comic. So, no, I don't think I've done horror before. So this will be a first.
Hey, there you go.
So, yeah, there's going to be some things, about that probably at New York Comic Con, but at San Diego Comic Con. I have a cover by Kari and myself, just for the TMNT Tales of the TMNT September. That's the unfortunately canceled Netflix show, but it does have a tie-in. Probably can continue the show. Yeah, and stay tuned. There's a few other projects under wraps that I haven't talked about yet, but coming up eventually.
All right, good stuff. Dio, what's going on, brother? He says, I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about Gamescom. We'll see. We'll cover it, obviously, but, you know, it's going to be one of these situations where we get a bunch of, oh, cool games coming out. Then the next week, a bunch of horrible fucking news happens, you know? That seems to be the pattern now, you know? And they probably want us to forget all the bad stuff. Oh, focus on the game. Consume game, you know? Fergus Mills wants to know, man, is Dinner Date going to be digital only?
No, it's digital and physical.
There you go. Manny does. It's not skimping out on the physicals.
Well, I mean, Ignition Press is very committed to, to putting out the books. I can't talk about what they might be at San Diego, but they might have something if you're heading over.
Manny, you could probably say more on this. Digital-only comics are very rare, as I understand.
Yes, digital-only comics are incredibly rare.
Yeah.
Like, most of the way the industry works is it is sort of gets a lot of its funding, from the actual floppies that come out per month. So when you start saying stuff like, oh, I'll wait till the trade paperback, by the time say that, the book will probably already be canceled because you didn't buy any. That's just the way the industry works. When those graphic novels come out, the team, obviously the team that has percentage makes stuff of that, but that's not enough to fund another book. So, everybody makes a little bit of money off of it, but yeah, that's a little bit, it's too little too late if you start saying that in that portion, just the way things, but
yeah. Fergus Mills, like I understand the question, but yeah, comic books fans generally want actual physical things. They're not like gaming fans. Usually,
comic book fans usually, buy physical. Physical is still king in this situation.
Oh yeah, very much
also,
so.
Also, not to mention a lot of the online, the ever since Comixology sort of weirdly splintered or got absorbed into Amazon, it's actually a lot more difficult to get, issues when they come out digital.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, a lot of the studios have opened up subscription platforms like Marvel Now, and I don't know what the DC one is called, but if you know anything about those, you don't get issues day and date those platforms, you get them later.
Yeah.
So if I don't even know if Ignition Press even has a digital platform, or they just sell it on one of the out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's another one that came out recently, Let's say it's like a Comicsology competitor, but it's not as good. But yeah, regardless, the point is, with comic books, physical is still king, so you don't have to worry about that. You know, they tried the digital thing, and comic fans just didn't care for it. You know,
the thing about it when it comes to those books, especially if you know, off the beaten path sort of books, you would, if you're interested in that book, and you should ask your local comic book store if they're going to be carrying it. Because they also do need to make the order for those things. So, like, Marvel and DC are given. They're gonna hold on to those. They're gonna put those books out no matter what. But like for things for like smaller companies like Diction Press or some of the Image books, they don't carry every single one of them. You would have to probably talk to your local or go to a larger comic book store that gets a wider range of books.
Yeah, there you go. All right, comic book lesson, people. But again, it's good to know because obviously everybody's fearing that all their favorite hobbies are going to become digital. Comic books are still safe, you know.
Comic books are still safe, and you can, you know, and you still need to lock your phone or turn it off when you get onto a plane. So,
yeah, that's funny. All right, man, we're out of here. So make sure you follow, throw it down on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. Saw a couple of new people join the Discord. One of them was apparently, you know, my favorite type, longtime listener, first time caller. You know, he left a couple of questions. It's cool. Of course, we are on every podcast app. And yes, Throwdown is all digital. We are no physical. We don't have tapes and shit.
Imagine, you know? Imagine if we were physical. How would we deliver that? That'd be crazy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we are an all digital platform. But yeah, links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
To answer your question, I submit for your consideration, Piss Pressed.
Yes. Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Mangioma.
Rest in peace, Samuel.
Yeah, right? Fuck. Yeah, shout out. Great actor. All right, guys. We shall return on Sunday. Start getting them questions in. Later.